let's begin. I want to do with you part two of Bris Milah. Okay, last week we discussed a few ideas of Bris Milah and the thought of Rav David Kohn from his Sfar Masas Kapai. This week is also Parsha, it's a topic of this week's Parsha, the Bris Milah. Avram Avinu was sitting the Pesach Oil and recovering from the Bris Milah. Yitzchak is born. And Avraham, Bayomel Avraham, Yitzchak, Bida, Ben Shimon, Asyamim. So it's fair game. This week is also a topic of Bris Milah. So there are a few more short ideas I want to share with you. Okay, let's go to novel idea of Rabbi David Kohn. Why do we have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu? So we discussed last week the obvious reason, because based upon the Medrash, Eliyahu Navi was a Kanoi. He told the Kadosh Baruch Hu that your children are no longer observant of the Bris. Hashem responded, that's not true, that's a lie. And to prove that you're a liar, I'm going to force you to go to every Bris Milah Mikan L'Haba to witness that they are observant of the Bris Milah. Okay, that's the Pashup Shah. We have a key, says that Kishal Eliyahu Navi. Rabbi David Kohn says that's not the only time. Look at the Midrash, it's much deeper than that. And he says he wants to suggest that it's corresponding to the beginning of it's really hidden, it's rooted in the beginning of this week's Parsha. Parsha begins where Avraham, Hashem appears to Avraham when he's recovering from the Bris Milah. The Shechina appears. Vayera Elov Hashem. Hashem appears to Avram Be'eloni Mamrei Vehu Yoishev Pesach Cho'oil G'choyim Hayom. Hashem appeared to him. When did Hashem appear? Hashem came to Mevaker Choyle. Ara sent the three Malachim when Avraham was recuperating from the Bris Milah. We learn from this that when there is a Bris, it brings with it a Gilui Shechina. Eliyahu HaNavi is the one that is the ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one that is coming to represent the HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Gilui Shechina. Hinei Anochi Shelechem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem HaGadol V'Hanoira. Therefore, as a way to reenact, that's the key word here, to reenact this pasuk in the beginning of this week's parasha, Vayero Elov Hashem Be'eloni Mamre, Hashem appears to Avram, when Avram is sitting and recuperating from the Bris Milah, when the beginning of the Bris, we set up a chair for Eliyahu HaNavi in order to receive the Shechina, Lifnei Yoyim Boi Hashem HaGadol V'Hanor. Something along those lines. Okay, next quick idea. Why, when we say Baruch Haba, I always wondered about this. Who is the Baruch Haba? And the Bris begins when the loyal announces Baruch Haba. Well, right first he says Kvata. He screams out Kvata, which is a signal that the person who's carrying the baby should come forward.
Does Svardim also do that?
Svardim do it? I do not know. I'm not familiar with all the customs. Okay, but we know that it begins with the kavata, with the woman, with the mother giving it to a woman, and the woman gives it to her husband, and then they come forward, and then the moral says Baruch Haba. Who is the Baruch Haba? So Rav David Kohn explains that al derech pshat they're really two mahalchim. Some learn the Baruch Haba is the baby. Okay, next time you go to a bris, you say Baruch Haba, who are you saying, who are you welcoming? You are welcoming the baby. The baby is the one that is bo, that is arriving. Just others say what?
He is the character.
He's the chassan. He is the guest of honor. He's the Baal Simcha. Right, he's the Baal Simcha. I once went to a yahrzeit suda. So someone walks in and he sees everyone is sitting and the table is set. So he says, "No, who here is the Baal Simcha?" Who's the Baal Simcha?
The one that got the Yerush.
Woo! Woo! That was heavy there.
That's
if he's not
contesting.
What? Who's the Baal Simcha? His name was Sanis. Who's the Baal Simcha? Like the joke, the good joke I told you a couple of times, but so Shabbos, everyone is smiling. I have yard site this week for my grandmother. Oh, I have yard site this week for my mother. I have yard site for this one. I have yard site today. I have a yard site. You have yard site for your mother. I have yard site for my father. And then who walks in the ultimate? I'm the mason. I'm the mace. Today's my yard site. I just got here. I came out of the ground. I'm the Baal Simcha. I'm the ultimate Baal Simcha. I have Kedima over everyone. Okay, so who is the Baruch Haba? So simply the Baruch Haba is the baby. However, he says, he really suggests that's not the pshat. The Baruch Haba is the one, the Kavata. The Kavata is the Baruch Haba. Why? Because he is the one that is doing the mitzvah. He is the one that is being oisek in the mitzvah of bringing the baby. Where does this come from? Well, I guess so, because he's the one that's bringing the baby in. It's a very big kibbutz. To be a kavata is a very big kibbutz, because he's the one upon whom people are giving. Blessed be the one who has arrived, who is coming. Who just arrived. Why do we give him kavod? This is a mishnah, Masechet Nisan Bikurim. It says in the Gemara that when the people would bring Bikurim to Eretz Yisrael, when they would arrive, the workers would stop what they're doing. People who are working in the fields, when they would see people arriving, coming in through the fields, they would stop and they would stand up. And they would stand up and welcome them. Stop from the malach and welcome them and bless them. Blessed are you. You should be blessed for coming and doing the kind of the mitzvah. And from here we learn the halacha that you're supposed to stand and give kavod to a person who is busy with doing a mitzvah. That's one of the main reasons why we stand at a wedding. When the chasn and kala walk down the chuppah, the minhag is to stand. Why do we stand?
I heard the hefech, I think, is supposed to only stand for a Talmud Chacham and a Zakeh.
A Talmud Chacham and a Zaken, and not for the Chasen Kala? That's another reason. But another reason why you stand is the Oisek B'mitzvah.
I've been at weddings, I saw Reuben Feinstein. He didn't sit, he didn't get up when they passed by. I was at the wedding, he was sitting right
there. He didn't stand up at all?
Not at all.
Twitched?
No.
Maybe his legs were hurting him.
Because they weren't the Chasen Kala yet, they were on their way.
Okay, whatever, so you twitch, you shuck a little bit, or whatever. No, but this is brought down. You're supposed to stand when the chasen, at least when the chasen, the kal is machlekes. When the chasen walks by, you are supposed to stand up to give kavod. Why? That's one time. Chasen lemel melech is one time. You give kavod to the melech. It's because you're oisek in the mitzvah. Being oisek in the mitzvah of a prior revu, or it's a heksher mitzvah, you're mechuyev to stand in honor of the people that are being oisek in the mitzvah. And that, the nafka min is if you say chasen lemelech, what about a kala? So I once heard someone argue there's no such chazal. Nowhere do we find the kala is doma lamalka. The chosin is a melech. And the kala? No, the kala is the kala. The nachshlap. What?
She cooks the meal.
What? He thinks he's a melech. The doymel le melech. The married man, the bachar, a bachar, a free man who's not married, a bachelor, he's the real melech. Independence. The chasan is transient. He's in the middle. He's in transition. He's doymel le melech. He no longer has the freedom of being a bachelor. And once he's a married man, he's an eved. It's all over.
You know, he puts his foot on the glass. It's the last time he can put his foot down.
That's the not.
I know someone.
Okay, let's go further. So we have this idea that you mechuyev to stand on of someone who's doing a mitzvah. Therefore, Rav Dovid Cohen suggests that when you say Baruch Haba, you're giving kavod not to the baby. The baby doesn't know what in the world is going on. The baby is totally out of the picture. The one you're giving kavod to is the kavata. The kavata, he is the one that's bringing the baby into the bris milah. We give him a baracha. Baruch Haba. Now that interpretation upgrades the degree of honor we give the kavata. People, some people go to the bris, they don't even give it, they don't even think very much. They decide 5 minutes before who should be the kavata. Yeah, this guy, this couple, this one, whoever shows up, I'll make him the kavata. It's serious business. According to Rav Dovid Cohen, the one that's the kavata is the subject of this beautiful expression, Baruch Haba. It's pretty chashif. Think about it. If it's the baby, okay, big deal. So the baby, Baruch Haba, the baby is blessed. The kvata, you're just a truck. You know, what are you? Yeah.
To a couple who usually
right.
has not had no children.
Or is expecting a newly married.
Yes, that's right.
So it's a very interesting idea. Who is the subject? Next time you go to a bris, ask the person standing next to you, who is the subject of this blessing, Baruch Haba? Is it the baby or is it the kavata? It's machloek, it's two different mahalchim. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Who are the makor of the is there a particular individual on the makor of the brahman?
No, he doesn't. He says, I think he says all on his own. He says all, if I'm not mistaken, he says on his own. Okay, let's go to another very interesting minute. Now, I want you to think about this. I've seen different things. Some places, I don't think they do anything. They don't even pay attention to what they're doing. Where exactly do they put the kisei shel Eliyahu and the kisei that the sandik sits upon? Do they put it in any particular part of the shul, any particular part of the bayis, if it's in a hall? Many places they make it in a hall, in Eretz Yisrael especially. In America, that's one of the very big differences between America and Eretz Yisrael. When you go to a bris in America, it's 99% of the time in the Beis HaKnesses. Correct?
Yeah.
Davening is over. After davening, you're in the Beis HaKnesses. If for whatever reason, Eretz Yisrael, it's not like that. Eretz Yisrael, more often than not, I can't tell you because I don't live there, I don't really know, but with the little bit I've seen, that I've been there, and the impression I've gotten is, most of the time it's not. People daven wherever you want to daven, and then come to the bris. The bris is taking place in this hall, this party, at 9 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, daven, I'm davening local, you daven where you want to daven. Just show up. Show up at the bris in this location at this time. We're having a bris. Is that not my mistaken? Is that really what the minhag is?
And also, I've been preparing bris in the afternoon in Israel, and it's a full fledged party.
Okay, but that's not so silly because reason makdim lemitzvos. That's not advisable to delay until the afternoon. The bris should be made early as possible. Now, the truth is, this trend has extended to some degree to Lakewood. Not in Brooklyn, but in Lakewood, it's also becoming like this, where people are just told the bris will take place in this hall, and this hall at this time. Daven where you want to daven. And even some of the popular places where they have a bris, it's at a hall. They have a mini factory in that location as well, but they're not tied. They don't have the bris in the shul. They have the bris in the hall. After davening, that's some places.
Economic
reasons, but it's a trend. It's something which is true to some degree in Lakewood. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very common. The bris is not taking place in the Beis HaKnesses, and in Lakewood also, people are beginning to make bris in halls, not connecting the bris milah to the end of davening. Okay. Well, there's a halacha that if the moil is present, you don't say tachnun. If the sandik is present, you don't say tachnun. If the aviyah ben is present, according to Shulchan Aruch, if there's a bris in the city, no, there's no tachnun. Okay, if that would be the case, we don't hold that. The Rav David Cohen, in one of his pieces, he makes a very interesting point. He says that look at the difference in Shulchan Aruch when you don't say tachnun for a bris milah versus a chassan. The Shulchan Aruch says the only time you don't say tachnun with regard to a chassan is when the chassan comes, enters the Beis HaKnesses. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if there's a bris in the city, the whole city does not say tachnun. We obviously don't follow that halacha because then we would never ever say tachnun, and we view each little shul to be its own city. There's enough politics in each shul that's the keilu, it's a major city, so each little shul is its own city. You only say tachnun when in the shul itself, even if the moil. But let's go further. But where do you put? Let's assume for argument's sake at this moment that the bris milah is taking place in the Beis HaKnesses. Where do they set up the two chairs? They set up the chair of the kisei shel Eliyahu and the kisei upon which the sandik sits. Now, by the way, by the Sfardim, the sandik sits in the kisei shel Eliyahu. They only have one chair. By the Sfardim, also there's the kisei shel Eliyahu, and the sandik sits in the kisei shel Eliyahu. I guess they first put the baby gzunta. They put the baby on the chair first, and they say ze kisei shel Eliyahu, and then the sandik sits down upon the kisei shel Eliyahu and holds the baby. Okay, minhag Ashkenazis have two separate chairs, gzuntai, two separate chairs. One chair the kisei shel Eliyahu, and one chair for the sandik to sit upon. It's not. You go to a shul, it's very nice if they have two chairs. They have two very nice, fancy chairs. It's much nicer than when you go to a bris, they take out a plastic chair. This is the kisei shel Eliyahu, and this is the kisei for the son. It has no time. It has much more time. And it has much more time. We have a nice chair. Okay, but here's the question. Okay. Here's the question. Where do you put the chair? So Rav David Cohen writes, there are two minhagim. You put either Mizrach. Okay, Mizrach, the Mizrach of the shul, I guess, facing the Olam. I've seen this. Right? Yeah, tell me what you've seen. I'm asking what you've seen. Or you put it Tzafon. in the Beis HaKnesses, assuming that the Aron Kodesh is Mizrach. Let's make that assumption. The Aron Kodesh is Mizrach, and they put it on Tzafon, which will be the left side. Assuming the Aron Kodesh. So I know by Rabbi Kahn's shul, I know they have two big, beautiful chairs. They do there, all the places I've seen they have there, the nicest. He has two big, beautiful chairs. One is the Kisei Shel Leo, one is for the Sanhedrin. They're both identical, big, massive chairs, and they put them Tzafon. They put them Tzafon, and they do Tzandik. They put on the Kisei Shel Leo first, and then they have the Tzandik on the other chair. They do the Bris Milah, do it on Tzafon. I daven Chaim Berlin pretty often there, if I'm not mistaken. They don't have the Kisei Shel Leo they used to have. I don't know what happened to that chair. They used to have a very nice Kisei Shel Leo, and it disappeared. For years. So they don't have anything. They just have two regular chairs. And they do it Mizrach. If I'm not mistaken, they do it Mizrach. That's the minhag there. They put it. So what's the pshat? Well, truly, it's not a real Mizrach because they daven Dorim. So they don't even do it Mizrach. They do it really Dorim. I don't know. They don't really pay much attention. What is this all about? So anyone notice anything when you daven? What the custom is? Is there a particular custom?
Yeah, that's the best
just for fun of the Aron Kodesh.
That could be. That's probably the most important thing. The Mo wants the best shot. The photographer may call the shots. But did anyone here recall anything? Seeing something done very specific? I remember one. I went to the Avenue J. I remember once there was a loyal there. He did a taco. There it's not a right because the shul faces Tzafon. But if the Aron would have been a make believe. Mizrach, then he would have done it. He did it on the side that was Tzafon. I don't remember clearly. All right, but this is what he. What's the? He shows that these two minhagim are rooted in various sources. The Machzor Vitri, I think he says, that comes from Rashi, and there are other sources. He explains a fascinating insight into what the shorish for the minhagim are. What exactly is a bris mila keneged? Some suggest it's keneged the ketores. And we all know that the sandik, there's a custom, everyone knows there's a custom that you don't give a person a sandikos more than once. Why not? Because the one that gets sandikos is if he's being makti the ketores. He's being makti the ketores. Chazal said this, Yosimu ketor v'yapecha v'cholil mizbech. I've got the exact medrash, because it's a medrash which compares bris milah to the ketores. And we know that in the Beis HaMikdash they did not allow a kohen to offer the ketores more than once in his life. Why? Because bringing the ketores was a skula for ashiros. Now we throw around the word skula very loosely. We abuse the word skula. And ashiros, we don't even know what ashiros really is. Hasomeach ezeho asher hasomeach b'chelkoi. But in time of Chazal, time of the Beis HaMikdash, this had much more seriousness than we appreciate today, than the way we abuse these terms, ashiros and a skula. And therefore there was a hakpada never to spread the wealth, and not to always to give at least like every Arkoyim should have an opportunity to do so. And for that reason, many have the custom to give the sandikos, never give sandikos to a person from one family more than once. Therefore, we learn from this Chazal that the performance of a bris milah is a form of bringing up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a nachas ruach equivalent to the offering of the ketores. Where was the Mizbech HaKetores in the Mishkan? Which side? It was Tzafon. I'm sorry, it was Mizrach. Mizrach. It was Mizrach. Think about the Hechel. In the very front of the Hechel is the Aron. What's the very, very front? Marav. The very front of the Mishkan is west. The Shechina is in the west. And then you go a little bit further, you have, on the left side, you have the menorah. That was the Doraim. On the right side is Tzafon, is the Shulchan. And then in the middle, towards the back, smack in the center, the opposite end of the Heichel, the east side of the Heichel is the Mizbeach HaZohav, upon which you offer the Ketores. So being that the bris milah is keneged the offering of the Ketores, the ideal location to put the chair for the bris milah, for the sandik to sit down upon, do the bris milah, should be in the mizrach. In the mizrach, facing Mairav. like the Ketores, is facing the Aron HaKodesh. So therefore, in the Beis HaKnesses, assuming that the Aron is in the Mizrach, you put the chair, with the back of the chair, towards the Aron HaKodesh, so the chair is in the Mizrach, facing Maariv, identical to the place of the Mizbech in the Heichal, where you brought it, Mizrach facing Maariv. Very simple, very nice. What's the longest? Why many Moyalim, like I told you in the Rabbi Konshul, they're there, they hakpada, the way at least I saw it, I was there only once, I shouldn't say. I know I see the chairs there, I was there very often, I see the chairs very often, but I only saw a bris being done there once where they put a bedafka on the tzofain, because Chazal tell us that the bris milah is connected to the akedah. When you bring the akedah, in fact, some chassidim, it's a very dangerous minhag. Many doctors are very against this. They tie up the baby. You ever see this?
The legs.
You ever tie? They tie yes. up the baby because when you do the bris milah, it's like you're offering the child. You're reenacting akedas Yitzchak.
It's easier to do it.
No, it's there because the child doctors don't like this because the child needs to kick to let out the tsar, the pain.
I have cultures where babies until 6 months are.
All right, I don't know. So different customs.
On board. Yeah.
They do all these things to reenact Akedas Yitzchak. The Maisa Milas connected to Shchita. Where do you do Shchita? The Shachat also Al Yerech. Amelach Yerech Amitzbech Tzofona. Shchitasan Bat Tzofoin. When you bring a carbon oila. Where do you do the shchita? All kodshei kodashim, shchitasan, bat sofoin. Mimela, there's a hakpada according to this mahalch that the chair upon which the bris milah is done, the sandik sits, should be on the tsofoin. Gewaltig, what? The tsofoin, tsofoin is tsofoin, wherever it's tsofoin, go take a compass and find tsofoin.
What is the back of the chair should be facing
tsofoin? No, so what the tacos do? So in the base hamigdash, they did it tsofoin facing darom. So the back is tsofoin like the taka do. The back is facing tsofoin, facing darom. Darom, you're right, but the moral, where's the moral standing here? I don't know all the particulars. You're right, you're making a good point. Where exactly do you, how far do you want to go? How far do you want to go? Because in the Mishnah, it was very meductic exactly which direction he stood. You're right, I don't know the exact details, but at least in the very general terms, this is, he explains why there is such a minhag, bedafka on the tzofain, because keneged the akedah is a carbon oila, oila shchitasan bat tzofain. If you want to go with the mahalech, that bris milah is connected to the Ketores was offered the Mizbech HaZahav, the Mizbech HaZahav is in the Mizrach, so go in the Beis HaKnesses, find the Mizrach. There's one caveat to this thing. He says something here which I never saw before. I always thought about this, I thought it's a double posture, I never found this in writing, I finally found it in writing. This isn't very interesting. He just says Derech Agav, Chanukah is coming up soon, where in the Beis HaKnesses do you put the menorah? So we all know, and today, all the shuls today, Ruba Druba, they put it on the Dorim. So you take out a compass, you go to a shul, every shul, flapush, davens in a different direction, you figure out where is Dorim. Most shuls can lay down in Mizrach, so Dorim is typically on the right side. And then, you typically face the Olam, your back is towards the wall, and you face the Olam, not like you do at home when you're facing the street, you face the Olam when you lie. Okay, so it's a question, you go, which order, but the menorah, you're going to find it on the Dorim. You'll put it this direction, that direction, but it's on the Dorim. So he says an amazing yisod, he says, not everyone agrees, I don't know where he gets this from, that's what you should do for the menorah, and when it comes to bris milah for the moment. In other words, what he says is, there's a virtual darom, there's a real darom, take out your compass from your tefillin bag, there's a mizrach hamarv, and then there is a virtual darom. What is the virtual darom of the Beis HaKnesses? It's the left side of the Beis HaKnesses. The left. Why the left? Because wherever the Aron HaKodesh is, when the Aron, that is connected the Aron in the Mishkan. Where was the Aron in the Mishkan? The Aron was in the Maariv, not in the Mizrach. In the Mishkan, the Aron, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was Maariv. When you're facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on your left is the Menorah, and on your right is the is the Shulchan, and then in the back in the middle is the Mizbeach Azov. So he says there is such a minhag that in the Beis HaKnesses you put the menorah on the left side. Oh, but it says in Chazal, the menorah was in the Dorim. Yeah, in the Mishkan, the menorah was on the Dorim, because in the Mishkan, the Aron was the Ma'ariv, so the male on the left side is the Dorim. But in the Beis HaKnesses, we live in Chutz Li'aretz, and we're davening towards Yerushalayim, and towards Yerushalayim is typically Mizrach. So for our purposes, it's a virtual Ma'ariv. The Aron HaKodesh, wherever it is, that's like a dogma of the Mishkan. Mimela, where do you put the menorah on Chanukah? On the left. So now he says, take this same idea and translate this to the Bris Milah. When you go to a Bris Milah, some shuls do this also. He says, you're going to go take out a compass? Oh, it's going to be the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is B'Tzofen? Okay, where's the Tzofen? What does the compass say Tzofen is? Oh, we're going to reenact the Akedah. We're going to reenact the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is in the Mizrach. Okay, we're going to reenact the Akedah. V'shochat Yisrael Yerecha Mizbeach Tzofen. Where's the Tzofen? Who says you should go and you should take out the compass? The Beis HaKnesses is Keneged, the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the Aron is what's in front. If you want to follow the Mahalich and the Mahalich and making this into the Akedah, and it's going to be a carbon oiler, so you do it on the right side. Do it on the right side, because the right side is where the Tzofen is, where the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the Mishachar Asa Yerecham Mizbeach Tzofen. If you want to reenact a Maisa Ketores, then you go to the back of the shul. You go to the back of the shul, the back of the middle of the shul, the bima, because the truth is the Mizbeach Hazav was right smack in the middle. You know, in fact, Rav Dovid Cohen Shul, I was once there for a bris, they do it on the bima. They do it on the bima. And that fits perfectly in line with what he wrote, is that the Beis HaKnesses is a miniature of the Mishkan, with the Aron HaKodesh being the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the bima being the Mizbeach Hazahav, which was right smack in the center. And when you do the Bris Milah on the bima, you're really reenacting 100% the Mizbeach Hazahav. Okay, so bottom line, which we want to present over here, we'll stop here, is these the two minhagim. There's a minhag of Tzofen, and there's a minhag of Mizrach. Tzofen comes from the Mahalach that it's a reenactment of the Akedah. Mizrach comes from the Mahalach that it's a reenactment of the Mizbeach of the Ketores. Now you have to define what is called Tzofen, what is called Mizrach. Do you want to work with the compass? Good for you. If you want to say no, there's a virtual Tzofen and a virtual Mizrach, which means that you look at the Aron Kodesh as being the replica of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then that becomes your Ma'ariv, your virtual Ma'ariv, and now you work backwards. Whatever that's Ma'ariv, Mimela, you're going to, the Tzofen is going to be on the right, and Mizrach is going to be in the middle of the shul. Okay, we'll stop here.